A couple of people had some words last night and as they came forward, and rather than to break the spirit of the ministry that we were in last night, I ask if they would share their words with us this morning before the session began. So, Mei Li, you want to come up and read your, she had a prayer.
And I now pray for you and bless you, my dearest friends. I speak healing to every cell in your body. I speak vibrant health to every organ, every tissue, every bone, every muscle, every nerve, every blood vessel, every thought, every emotion, every imagination, and every fiber in your entire being. Be cleansed of all spiritual, emotional, and chemical toxins in your body. Be cleansed of all stress, all bitterness, all grief, all guilt, all fear. Be flooded now with the spirit of trust, surrender, forgiveness, love. Be repaired, renewed, refreshed right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just a powerful prayer for a physician to pray. I know when I was in Parkersburg, I used to team up with Mike Santer. Michael was a cardiologist, and he would pray with his patients. And it ended up, as we were ministering on one side of the bed, I became Dr. Patsy, and he became Father Mike. And Lynn, want to come forward. Lynn had a word that she wanted to share.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lynn. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. What a lovely present. Thank you for the gift. You're all wonderful friends. I wanted to share this particular experience. It happened, I'm a rock collector, and recently I found a small stone, and it was shaped like a heart, very tiny. I brought it with me on this trip and found a special person to give it to as a token of this occasion. And whenever anybody goes on vacations or touring or anything, don't bring me a souvenir, bring me a rock. That's my favorite souvenir. I've got them from all over the world. It's wonderful. I was prayed over that night, and as I held my hands in front of me, I felt them being pressed toward my body until they rested on my heart and rested on my chest. And I felt at that time, Jesus gave me his heart. And that's my very special present from God for my birthday. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. As we prepared for the conference and we knew that it was going to be on healing, this is the second conference in which the speaker canceled when it was on healing. And sometimes what happens when you have a conference such as healing or deliverance, all kinds of demonic activity happens and it throws everything out. And you know, if when you give Holy Spirit seminars, sometimes there's all kinds of demonic activity and upsets and things that would challenge us. And we began praying as I came forward to deliver the conference. And I just want to read the prayer. This is Francis McNutt's. I've been praying my own prayer for many, many years. But this comes from, I think, one of Francis McNutt's books. And it's, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the cross and the blood, we bind up the power of any evil spirits and command them not to block our prayers. We bind up the powers of earth, air, water, fire, the netherworld, and the satanic forces of nature. We break any curse, hex, or spells sent against us and declare them null and void. We break the assignments of any spirits sent against us and send them to Jesus to deal with them as He wills. Lord, we ask You to bless our enemies by sending Your Holy Spirit to lead them to repentance and conversion. Furthermore, we bind all interaction and communications in the world of spirits as it affects us and our ministry. We ask for the shed blood of Jesus Christ over myself and all the conference participants. Thank You, Lord, for Your protection, and send Your angels, especially Saint Michael the Archangel, to help us in battle. And we ask You to guide us in our prayers. Share with us Your Spirit's power and compassion. Amen. And we've been praying that for the last month. It's important, particularly when we get into that type of a healing ministry, to surround ourselves with that type of protection. I know those who go into prison, I think it's important for you to find that protection and to know that, you know, this is a spiritual warfare that we're into, and to really understand that. I'd like to begin with reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me, in my name, I will do it. And this is not like a magic formula. Many times people will have their prayer, tell God what to do, and then say, in Jesus' name. So I prayed in Jesus' name. And it's not about getting our will and just tacking on in the name of Jesus. Because then we're still being God. We're still giving God the direction. And we may have a lot of wants and needs, but just because we want them doesn't mean that that's what the Lord wants. So we want to do the works of Jesus, and we're called to do that. But what Jesus is telling us, and this is all throughout St. John's Gospel, because in St. John's Gospel, Jesus is Lord from the beginning. In the other three synoptic Gospels, we don't see the lordship of Jesus. It builds up to Jesus' death and resurrection. Okay? St. John's Gospel, it's different. It starts with Jesus coming down, that He's already Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Okay? So it's Jesus coming down. So everything that Jesus did, He did as Lord. In St. John's Gospel. So He was always in control. St. John's Gospel, Jesus is in control of His whole passion. You know, go through the passion and you can read it differently. Because this is where John was coming from. So, what St. John is calling us to see is that relationship with the Father and the Son. You know, the light came into the darkness, but the darkness didn't grasp it. And then Jesus is returning back to the Father. So in this dynamic, there's the ever flow of life between Jesus and the Father. It's a big dynamic of the flow of life back and forth between Jesus and the Father. It's in the John's Gospel. I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it, or the words that I give you are the words of my Father. And there's always that connectedness there in that ebb and flow of life. And in that connectedness of the ebb and flow in life between Jesus and Abba, there's an empowerment there. And sometimes I can get the image of, you know, in these science programs where they have these two things with the electric going back and forth. And zzz, 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 zzz. It's like that. And Jesus is inviting us to jump in the middle of that. Jump in the middle of that flow. And that's what empowers us to act. And then when we go in that, then Jesus is acting in us, because we jump into the middle of that relationship of Jesus and the Father. And that can't happen. We can't make that jump unless we are spirit-filled. And that's why Jesus would say, it's better for you that I go, because if I don't go, then the Spirit cannot come. But if I go, I'll send that Spirit to you to give you that capacity to jump in faith into that. And then in the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke picks up on that, and he says, Jesus tells his disciples to stay here until you receive power from on high, and then go out and witness. So the whole point of Jesus in calling his disciples together is for them to get in that ebb and flow of that relationship between Jesus and the Father. And it's out of that life that we're called to minister. And if we're going to minister in his name, then we're ministering in the heart of Jesus. We're ministering out of the mind of Jesus. Basically, you know, he calls us to replace him, and we don't even lose a step, because the same Spirit that called Jesus to act is the same Spirit that he gives to us. That's why he says, if we're living out of that Spirit, then we have to do the works that he did, because we are carrying the life of Jesus within us. And that's where we need to protect and enhance that life of Jesus within us. It's all about the relationship with the Lord, that Jesus is Lord. The Father is glorified when his hidden goodness is revealed due to the power of Jesus in us. My Father has been glorified. And so he invites, not only he invites, he commands his disciples to do his work in his name. But that means that we have to be one in spirit with Jesus, that we have to operate out of the Spirit of Jesus. I think that's a powerful thing for us, because we carry that Spirit wherever we are. And it shouldn't be about us turning it on or off. You know, it's not like I'm in a secular world, I'm in a spiritual world. We carry the Spirit of God wherever we are, and many times then, we, because of Spirit life within us, are hitting head on wherever we are. Whether you can't call it a secular world, because it's a spiritual walk all the way. You know, and that can't be divided. It basically then becomes a spirit-filled lifestyle. Okay. St. Luke tells us that the power of the Lord made Jesus heal. Again, we can see that dynamic. Why? Because he's working out of that relationship with the Father. In Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 20. Jesus sends the 72 out. And then they come back. You're familiar with the story. They came back to report. These are the 72, not just the 12. Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name. Jesus said, I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So Jesus gives his disciples the power and the authority over the demonic world. So we don't have to be afraid. We have to understand that we operate under the authority of Jesus Christ, and there's that oneness there. And Jesus has given that power and that authority to us. Nothing will harm you. Then he goes on, nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you. That's all ministry. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that's relationship. There's a big difference between ministry and relationship. Because if we go further down in Luke, Lord, you taught in our synagogues, you know, you walked in our streets, you healed, and he says, I don't know you. I don't know you. One's ministry, one's relationship. I don't know you. You know? I don't know. Why didn't he know him? Because one was ministry and one was relationship. And we have to see that difference in our lives. We're called to come to experience the Lord Jesus and to jump in that ebb and flow between the Father and the Son. And there's a difference between a charismatic life and a spiritual life. A charismatic life is one that calls us out and calls us into ministry. A sanctifying life calls us into wholeness. And the two, though they're not mutually exclusive, they're not the same. So you can have a charismatic life where the Lord works through you. You can have a sanctifying life in which we grow in holiness. And God can work through us even when we're stinkers. It doesn't say anything about personal holiness and growth. And consequently then, we had many ministers that God worked through. And they had their hand in the cookie jar. What were the TV evangelists? Bob Baker? Jimmy Baker was one. Who was the other guy that was? Swagger, Jimmy Swagger. God used them, and God healed through them. But their personal life and their relationship with the Lord was out of whack. And God was calling them into sanctification to grow in holiness and grow in goodness. And then to use that in ministry. And to see what Jesus is telling his disciples, yes, you can cast out demons, you can heal, you can make blind people see, you can do that. But be more rejoicing that your name is in the book of life. And we see then how we're called to grow in that holiness, in that personal holiness. And that's, I think, a challenge that we have to look into ourselves. You know, many people, oh, I have this gift, I have that gift. Well, those are nice, but what about personal holiness and personal growth? A lot of times, the people that we minister to, we know, are much closer to God than we are. Right? I mean, that's a given. That's a given. And so how do we work out of that spirit of Christ? And the thing is to keep the two growing together as we minister. Can we reflect upon that, interiorize that, and see how the Lord's is cleansing and purifying us? How are we being purified? And a lot of times things are happening in us, okay, and the more that we're purified, then we should have a greater confidence in going out and ministering. I want to take a little break here in a sense of changing the subject and talk a little bit about prayer and laying on of hands in healing. Healing is a ministry, and you can be an object or subject of that healing. And a healing ministry is different than intercession. Everyone is called to intercession, to intercede for people. We're all called to that, huh? We have the prayers of the faithful at every Mass. We have prayer chains, right? Everybody has a prayer chain or prayer list. That's a little different than a healing ministry, because you can be at your desk and be in the prayer intercessory ministry. But in healing ministry, it calls for a ministry in which there could be the laying on the hands, there could be a continuity, a follow-up. I could almost have Pat or Linda talk about this, of the training for a healing minister. You know, you don't close your eyes. A lot of times, you know, you think the harder you squint, the more effective the prayer. Or if you put your hand in a particular way, then somebody's going to be healed. And a lot of that stuff is intercessory prayer. But in healing ministry, it's a matter of being open and observant to the other person and working with the other person. Keep your eyes open, because you're looking to the response of what's happening with that. And a lot of times it could be a blink of an eye, it could be a twitch in the face, that the Lord will convey to us what needs to be done in the healing ministry. So I would encourage us all to have intercessory prayer, and I'm sure we're all on prayer lines and prayer chains. But one of the ways to become involved in healing ministry is to just pray over people and see what happens. See what happens. Like I say, the first experience that I had an inner healing, you know, it was a surprise to me. I didn't know what to do with it. And I had to get it through and get some help and seek out some people the first time. Same way with a word of knowledge. I asked the guy, I said, I don't know too much about this, but you can tell me it's none of my business. You can tell me to get out of here. You can say it's right on. It's not. And I gave a word for the person, and he confirmed it, and his life changed. Had nothing to do with me. I didn't know the guy. And when God revealed something to me and said, get this to him, I did, and I didn't even know the guy. So there are charismatic elements, and had nothing to do with my holiness. You know? Somebody can challenge me that I don't know. They could be a pagan, they can be anything. But if I'm open to hearing God's word, then I'm open to hearing God's word, and that can be a transforming word for me. So don't think somebody has to be holy before I pay attention to them. It might be God using that other person, and they don't even have to be Christian. It's a matter of our getting connected to God and letting our interior life grow, because ultimately that's going to be the bottom line, that relationship with the Lord. That's what is sanctifying. That is what is grace-filled. And there's a lot of ministry that goes on. Okay? And we use other gifts, you know, the gift of music. There may or may not be any difference, or it may be more of a difference, because people may be healed through music easier than being ministered to with laying on of hands. Or, you know, 200 hours of counseling can be, one psalm can trump that. You see what I'm saying? That there's a lot that God is doing, and to understand the difference between that gifts, the gifts that flow, and the ministry and the service that flows, and the personal holiness. And personal holiness. And that's the challenge that we have. What I'd like to do at this time is to open the floor to any questions or any comments or any insights that you have had from this weekend that you can share with each other. If you need points of clarification, then if you'd make that known. Okay? Anyone? Patricia, is there anything that you'd want to say?
Sorry.
I put these girls through the test when we formed a healing team. I used to tape them praying and interceding for each other. And then I'd sit back and watch the tape with them and give critiques on ministry. And it was very natural for them to put on hands and close their eyes because they wanted to remove all distractions. And the whole point in healing ministry is keep your eyes open and take in all of the things that may or may not distract or may or may not help. I don't know.
I think the thing that's, and I've heard it before this weekend, but the thing that has impressed me is the Father's love for us, the constancy, that He is loved so. And I kind of experienced that with my little granddaughter. She's just up one and learning to walk, and she had these little Crocs on. And you know how the little kids, when they're kind of puffy, and they're just so sweet, and they kind of walk like, you know.
Yes.
And so I was walking down the walk with her. She never looked up. She's just kind of doing the Frankenstein walk. And when she came to the steps, the hand went up to me. And I was like, oh, I was elated. Yeah. It was that expectation. And you know, and I was just struck. It's like God was saying, see how I feel when you reach your hand to me. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's like what we've been doing all weekend. We've just been, you know, reaching our hand up to God. And He's delighted to take it. Mm-hmm. And this whole weekend has kind of just been an outgrowth of that little incident and confirming and affirming God's love for us. And you know, that's where it all starts, is His love for us. And Francis McNutt, you've quoted him, he said, you know, I resisted being, you know, involved in the healing ministry because it was Lynn who got healed and kind of drug me in. And it wasn't until I read, Francis McNutt said, all the healing ministry is love. Mm-hmm. It's just about love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the transference of love. And, well, you know, we all have love. So, love is nothing to be afraid of. Yes. It's a good thing.
Yep.
So,
yes. Okay.
But thank you.
Thank you. Anything you'd want to share with that?
Talking about when you were healed, you were in the hospital and you were praying over your medicine. And I take a couple of some medicine, and every morning I pray over my medicine for what it's intended. I mean, there are a lot of side effects on medicines, and I just find those side effects and pray for what it was intended for. And I also have the scripture that says, it's from Sirach 38. It says, hold physician in honor, for he is essential to you. And God it was who established his profession. From God, the doctor has his wisdom, and the king provides for his sustenance. His knowledge makes the doctor distinguished and gives him access to those in authority. God makes the earth yield healing herbs, which the prudent man should not neglect. Was not the water sweetened by a twig that men might learn his power? He endows men with the knowledge to the glory in his mighty works, through which the doctor eases pain and the druggist prepares his medicine. Thus God's creative work continues without cease in its efficacy on the surface of the earth. So when Father Patsy was talking about praying over his medicine, I said, do exactly that. Pray over your medicine for what it was intended for. You will see a picture.
Oh. Oh, thank you. When we had our healing team in Westover, we also worked in conjunction with the counseling center. And the persons that came to us for healing, we would have them sign a release. And the doctor would do the same thing. They would sign a release where we could talk together. You know, and we had permission to talk together. So when the person would go to the counselor, if something came up and the counselor discerned that was more of a spiritual thing than an emotional or psychological thing, then the doctor was free to share that with us. And if we prayed with the person for any type of deliverance or healing, and something came out that was psychological, then we had the freedom to go and to consult with their counselor. Because if you look in the scriptures about healing, sometimes Jesus would heal a deaf person. They could hear. Sometimes Jesus would drive a demon out of a deaf person and they can hear. So if somebody is emotionally ill and they need emotionally counseling, you know, and it's not a demonic thing or a spiritual thing, they need to be ministered to by the medical staff and the psychological staff. But if it's a spiritual thing, the doctors can give all the medication in the world, and it needs a spiritual attention. So it's important that those ministries, you know, can learn how to coordinate with each other. And like I say, it was kind of neat with us because we would have them sign waivers on both ends in that way. But I'd encourage you all to pray with each other and see, you know, if you're praying over somebody and they start jumping or jerking, and if your eyes are closed and you miss it, you know, keep your eyes open and pray and just ask the Lord to see. We don't know whether we have a healing ministry or not. You know how you know? It's like the prophet. If the prophet's prophecy comes true, he's a true prophet. If it doesn't, then he's not. Right? That's what the scripture does. That's what the scripture says. And so continue to pray. And, you know, go. We can go beyond the intercessory. But intercessory is a powerful tool. Intercessory is a powerful tool. And we had a lot of intercessors for us, like even this weekend. We had a lot of intercessors. There were convents dedicated to praying for us during this weekend throughout the United States. Any other comments or response? Yes. So, yes, stand so we can...
I just want to say a couple things. I want to thank everybody for sharing your praise, because I haven't been in charismatic movement since the 70s. And I was sick for a long time. I didn't smile or laugh for 5 years. And I'm getting better, and I had joy, but I had forgotten about the Holy Spirit and praising. And it's changed my life. And last night, I just had a, you know, it's like, I guess I'm on the right track. I didn't sleep at all. I had, you know, fitful. Like, I know the closer you get to God, the more the devil will try to keep you from it. It's like, I signed up, but then I didn't want to come, and I didn't want to stay to the praise service. I had conflicting things, and I stayed, and I feel like I'm on the right track. I left my cell phone in the car this morning, and I want to start putting my phone more on vibrate and carrying my Bible with me, doing more.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that sharing. Yeah. Yes, Stephanie.
You know,
stand up, honey.
I hurt my shoulder, my right shoulder, about a month ago. And I knew I was coming here, so I didn't see a doctor. And I just kept saying, thank you, because you're going to heal me. Thank you for what you're going to do this weekend. And the music.
Turn around and project that. Praise God. And?
I just want to share with you something from the perspective of being a physician. Many of us are God-fearing people. To become a physician, it is a privilege. It is a privilege in the sense that it is, first of all, a calling. Then you have to go through this laborious path. It is quite laborious to become a physician, and it's a continuing work. And we all pray to God, and just to be with you all and to be able to serve you, I think that is a privilege. And we pray to God that we can be the conduit. We are actually the conduit, the channel of His healing grace. He blessed us this knowledge and this wisdom in order to use it to help all of you. So I also want to share with you a continuation of the reading from the book of Sirach as a physician. It is from Sirach. It is one of my favorite Bible book. Chapter 38. My child, when you are ill, do not rebel, but pray to the Lord and He will heal you. Renounce your faults, keep your hands unsoiled, and cleanse your heart from all sin. Offer incense and a memorial of fine flour. Make as rich an offering as you can afford. Then let the doctor take over. The Lord created him too. Do not let him leave you, for you need him. There are times when good health depends on doctors, for they in their turn will pray the Lord to grant them the grace to relieve and to heal and to prolong your life. Whoever sins in the eyes of his maker, let such a one come under the care of the doctor. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Mila. The ultimate healing, you know, is new life and resurrected life. That's the ultimate. Anyone else want to share? Yes.
Sometimes illness can be a gift. It really can. And I want my illness to help me give to people. And so far, God has made that happen. It hasn't gotten bad. So it stays at a spot where nobody knows it's there. So I'm able to use that. And when I pray, when I go into a room, I can kind of empathize with how people are feeling. And this conference, you go and you follow the Lord. You think it's what the Lord wants you to do, but you don't really know totally. And then this weekend has helped me when I go into the hospital rooms. That's what God wants me to do. And this has all been affirmation of that. And everything God's given me my whole life has helped me do this ministry. And what you were saying, we have to just take it and let the Spirit go through, because I'm not doing anything with the Lord, and when we remember that, we can go with it. But, you know, sometimes illness is a gift, and it's okay. It's just the tools God has given us. So I just wanted to say that.
I'd like to say that illness is not a gift. It is not a gift from God. It can be used, but it's not a gift of God. Okay? And I want us to say how we have to approach that. I never ever spoke of my cancer because it wasn't mine. It didn't belong to me. It didn't belong in my body. There was cancer in my body, but I didn't own it. And many times when we speak about, you know, my cancer, what am I doing? I'm possessing it, and I'm taking hold of that. And I want it released. So it's not my cancer. That's an invasion. Sickness is an invasion of our bodies. And don't hold on it, don't grab it. Okay, when it's there, is God in the presence? Yes, and that's what I'm saying. You know, I couldn't tell whether God healed me or the physicians healed me. It didn't make a difference because we were all in this together. And it was to bring about wholeness and health. I had to deal with that issue, but it wasn't mine. I would take no claim of that at all. You know. And so I think the attitude that we have toward wholeness and health is important. And it's not going into a close, you know, because I, like I said, a seven-hour drip is not something that you're there juggling balls and happy about and tooting horns. Okay? But it wasn't mine. That was an invasion. I don't have to accept it. I may have to deal with it, but that's in life, right? You can have divorced kids or wayward kids and that. You don't have to accept it, but you have to deal with it. You know, it's not what we want. So I think that whole thing of don't accept it, but know that God works through that illness and that empathy that's there as you reach out, you know. Because most of the people that reach out to us in our physical sickness are not necessarily physically sick. Okay, and that's the challenge, you know, the whole challenge. You can go into a prison and minister to those in bondage without being in bondage yourself and bring about freedom. So don't, yes.
Well, I just want to say something in front of everybody about sickness, because I do think that we can save souls. And if you've ever read St. Faustina's diary, just be careful what you pray for.
Get up to the mic, please.
Well, I was a nurse, so I appreciate all the scripture. I always felt like if I helped and prayed for my patients when I couldn't be with my family, because no one else pretty much lived in West Virginia, that somebody would be good to them. And that was always my prayer, that I would be as good to them as if they were my family. And I seemed to always feel everyone's pain. I never judged that they didn't have pain. I always hurt when they hurt and was happy when I could give medicine, which I gave a lot of medicine in the hospital. So when I read St. Faustina's diary, I couldn't put the book down. And she has the chaplet of divine mercy. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar. Mm-hmm. And so I went out in the backyard and I said, you know, I've seen all this suffering, but I've never really, really suffered. And I'm willing to suffer to save souls. And 2 months later, I had a double detached retina, which proceeded to surgeries that with the doctors just, it was so bad that they couldn't fix it. I laid still for 4 months without moving. And then I had silicon oil put in, and it leaked in the middle of my eye, on top of my eye, and under my eyelid. But they told me, my husband, I was crazy that the retina has no pain. And so it proceeded to me being handcuffed and committed, proceeded to me finally getting to Cleveland Clinic, and I had 250 silicon oil cysts in my eye, which I praise God for Dr. Sears at Cleveland Clinic. If you ever know anybody with eye trouble, this is why I tell my story, because number one, God is good, and you don't die until you're supposed to die. I really believe that, and that God does use the doctors. Dr. Sears is very humble. The residents told me he was number one in the world. I didn't know that till last year. He operated in 2007, and he loves me in spite of all these complications I had, because I didn't stay in the hospital long enough. My husband made me come home, and the flap they made kept falling down. He kept trimming my eye, and I got on Opana. Opana is long-acting morphine. If you ever know of anybody taking strong drugs,
it's a bad thing because it made me suicidal. And I took 6 bottles of pills. I had access to all those psychiatric drugs. So my goal, my hope is that God will let me write a book and go out to people that tend to be on drugs for whatever reason. If it could happen to me to take an overdose, it could happen to anybody. In spite of all that, Dr. Sears loves me. He's going to finish my book. He said, when I was born with my eye problems, nobody made it. My eyes were so bad. I was so premature. And that all the surgery he does, the surgeries are too hard. People don't make it. But I have. So I'm here for a reason. And so suffering, you know, just be careful what you ask for, you know. But, it, you know, I do know that God has a purpose for everybody. And I don't regret one minute of it because God can use everything to help someone else. And I just want to give back. And I'm just thankful. So, like I said, I try to pass Dr. Sears' name forward. And I thank God for all the good doctors.
Thank you. Suffering is a part of it, but illness and suffering are two different things. Okay? Suffering is a part of this. Jesus said, we will suffer. He never said, you will be sick. He never said that. You will be. But he said, you will suffer. That's a part of it. Can you drink the cup that I drink of? And so, when there is suffering, you know, that's different than illness. That's I think it's an excellent testimony, and you know, to let that grace of God continue to flow, and understand that. Okay, I think there's some good insights that, you know, take them in and see what you want to do with that. Like I say, we're all called to be intercessors, but some of us may have a healing ministry out there and. Just continue to pray and see what happens. Anyone else want to comment on the weekend? Good weekend? Good weekend?